Morning. And welcome. This week's collection, we forgot to announce it last week, but this is for the ALC General Fund today. But we won't send it out until the end of the month, so if you want to get a hold of Janelle, and you can, anyway, we won't send the check out till the end of the month, so. But that's what today's collection will be for. There's potluck after the service. Any prayer requests?
A very good friend of mine who was also Gavin's facilitator is very ill with cancer. And she had very common symptoms and very reminiscent of Gavin at the end. And so I'm going to see her on Tuesday. Just asking for a prayer for her. Her daughter's getting married in June, and she's really praying she can make it for that wedding.
Sure. Any other prayer requests? Any other announcements? We'll have Neil do the psalm and Tom the message and prayer, and we'll do the we'll have the doxology to finish before lunch, and communion. Anyway, we'll start with 371.
Thank you. Psalm 51 to 6. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with my sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you this morning with hope. We come to you with little knowledge,
But we come to you with encouragement that your word is sufficient. That your word is all powerful. That your word is enough. Because of the faith that we have through what your Son has done and is doing. Father, we come to you with needs and wants, with supplications, with sorrows. And we need your help. Father, we lift up Susan to you. As she is struggling with a trial where it could take her life. But we have hope in you. We have strength in you. And we have encouragement in you to heal according to your will and way. She has a daughter that's getting married this summer. And we'd ask that you would help that family go through the trials in a way that glorifies you. In a way that lifts you up. In a way that your hands and feet are present through that young lady who has this trial. Father, help her. Help her family. Give her strength and encouragement. Give her a comfort, a peace, and an understanding that you love her immensely. And you want what's best for her. Help that family. Father, we come to you as a congregation with needs. But we come to you more so with asking you to help us become or be the bride. Help purify the bride. Help make holy the bride. Help us through your Spirit listen to the word, glean from the word what is right, proclaim what is in the word so that it does bring fruit. So that it does hit the mark. So that it does convict the soul and uplift the believer and comfort the wanderer. Father, thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the gifts that they have. We thank you for the unity that you've given us. Please give us the ability to be bold and confident, loving and secure in your word. Give us the ability to embrace each other, to love each other as Christ loves us. Father, as we look into your word, we know that your word will hit the mark. Please help us listen intuitively to it, open up our ears to it, apply what's necessary to our souls as we walk in your kingdom. Teach us to be able to see afar off so that we can, through the armor of God, fight the wiles of the devil. The arrows that come to us will be blocked because we understand that you love us and through your word, you will heal us of any infirmities or insecurities. Father, we ask that you would help those who cannot come to the word because of ailing or illness. Help those that are in sicknesses or bedridden. Be especially close to them this day as they struggle through what they have to go through, as their trial is very difficult. Just give them peace. Give them the ability to rest in what Christ is doing and has done. And Father, help us today in your Sabbath to honor and glorify you in a way that would produce fruit, unify the body, so that the bride is pure and holy and blameless before our bridegroom. In Jesus' name, let's continue. May the grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord be granted to you on this Lord's Day. Amen. So the text that was brought to my heart this week was the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, verses 1 to 11. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. And the title of my Bible says, Everything in God's Own Time. To everything there is a season and a time to every person under the heavens. time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time of peace or a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. The title Ecclesiastes means to convene an assembly, or simply a preacher that presents the purposes of life. Ecclesiastes tends to be used at many funerals. And in some ways it suits that. It has lots of different things with different times of life that happens, different things that happen to us as we grow older. And they have it in seasons here. There's everything, to everything there is a season. So it could be a season of fall or a season of summer, winter. What are the seasons of life? Like a child is probably from the time they're born to the time they're nine years old, that would be a child. Adolescence might be from 10 to 19 years old. Your brain is fully developed at from 25 to 30. Adulthood happens. You get married or you're single. There's trials in both. What's it like to be single? What are the blessings of that? I look at Auntie Helen and she lived till she was 99 years old. And I had the conversation with my wife, and she lived a long life and she was blessed in every way. I kind of attributed some of it because she wasn't married. That's why she lived to 99. She had a lot of and that's not to criticize my wife, but that's probably one of the reasons why she lived so long, was she wasn't married. But there are seasons. I'm just going to look at this text in a way that, like it says, everything is God's own time. A time that the potter molds the clay. There are seasons of life. So when we look at this, that's the way I'm going to be presenting it. So we'll look at verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up. Your birth and your death is in God's timing. It's not something you had anything to do with. God decided that your name and the year you were born and the date you were born was determined by him. The time that you were reborn, taken out of darkness into his magnificent light, because you were broken, lowly, and contrite, and grace could enter, faith could begin, and sanctification, the process of sanctification can happen, where you're set apart from the world, you're set apart from the devil, and you're set apart from your own flesh, and the new man begins. The time to die. Obviously, the date of your death, our days are numbered. We don't know when we're going to die. God determines that. But we determine if we die daily. Do we die to ourselves daily? Is the will, our will, the will of the flesh, the will of the world, the will of Satan, is it crucified daily? A time to plant and a time to pluck up. We plant a garden. We obviously are planting a garden to sustain our bodies through food. When does God plant the seed of Christ in you? During that rebirth experience. When we pluck up the crops of the field and we eat them, we partake of the fruit of our labor. It says then pluck up that which is planted. If we read Romans 6, we go there. Verses 3 to 5 kind of gives us an idea of what God is forming in us. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also planted in the likeness of his resurrection. Were we planted in the likeness of his death, his resurrection? Has the new man controlled the old man, the flesh, and the world in us? Is the influences of the bride and the bridegroom more influential in our decisions than the world, flesh, and the devil? They will be, because God is molding that. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Time to kill. Do we die daily? Time to heal. Are our sins cast away as far as the east is from the west? Time to break down. Are we lowly, broken, and contrite by the love of Christ, which constrains us to do good? And the time to build up. Do we build up the body? Do we always say good things about the bride? The members of the bride of Christ, the body of saints. Do we build them up? A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Do we weep because of the unconditional love of our Savior? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Do you know how much God the Father loves you? Do you know how much the Holy Spirit loves you? God gave His Son on the cross to die. Jesus died for our sins. He put your sins and mine on that cross of Calvary. It was condemned to His flesh. He died there. Then He rose again. And through rising again, we were imputed the righteousness of Christ. We are righteous because of the work of the cross. Time to laugh. Do we laugh at the attempts of Satan? Or are we influenced by them? Jesus says it is finished. He didn't say it was finished. He said it is finished. It's a present term. Satan is defeated. Our flesh and our old man is crucified with Christ. So it doesn't matter how many attempts Satan makes to assail us. We have the armor of God. The arrows will just go off the armor onto the ground. Time to mourn. Do we mourn the unbeliever? Do we mourn the unbeliever? Do we pray for the unbeliever? Do we have a heart for the unbeliever? Can we put ourselves in their shoes? They don't have faith. They don't have salvation. Do we pray for them that God would open them, open their hearts? Allow them to be broken, lowly, and contrite so grace may enter. Or do we just, I'm in, it's no big deal. Except for the grace of God, go I. Time to dance. I don't think a lot of you dance in this room. There's a time to dance. You've all seen it. Everybody's watched a hockey game. Saw the winning team win. Saw them celebrations. Saw somebody win a Super Bowl or a Stanley Cup or whatever it is. They saw them dance. That's the dance. That's the victory. Christ has won. We should be celebrating. We should dance the dance of David. Time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. We look at John chapter 8, 3 to 7. says a time to cast away stones. If we're going to throw stones, we might as well just throw them at ourselves. That's what Jesus is saying. In chapter 8 of John, it says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." It's funny, the man isn't there that committed the adultery. "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him, because Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up. So he didn't just ask them once, they continued asking him. He lifted up himself, he stood up and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." He then stoops on the ground again and wrote on the ground again. And then it's interesting, it says here, "Woman," in the 10th verse, "where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." We don't need stones. A time to gather stones. Ephesians 5:24-27. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, having not spot nor wrinkle or such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The bridegroom is presenting the bride that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, and present to himself a glorious church, the bride, not having spot or wrinkle or such thing. Do we gather stones together to build people up? Are we building on the solid rock of Christ, and at the same time, are we building each other up in the Word? Is the bride unified? Because Jesus is going to present the bride pure, holy, and without blemish. We should be building each other up. A time to embrace. We hug, we embrace, we support, we acknowledge when somebody's struggling, we celebrate with a hug when somebody is in victory. And a time to refrain from embracing, we stand on the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God. And if somebody is not doing the Word of God, embracing the Word of God, but promoting something that is against the Word of God, we refrain from embracing. Because by embracing that, you're supporting it. By standing back and saying, that's not the way it is, that's not what the Bible says. We're standing, we're refusing to embrace sin, because sin is exceedingly sinful. a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. Do we get wisdom? Like the proverb says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. It's interesting that Solomon, it says a time to get. And he wrote a lot of the Proverbs. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Have we gleaned from the Bible wisdom, knowledge of God? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do we love by the faith of the Son of God? Have we lost our life for him and gained him? So now that the life we live by the Son of God. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Are we kept by the power of God unto salvation? Has our sins been cast away as far as the east is from the west? Time to rend. What does rend mean? Torn? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Have you rend bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking? Malice? Are you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you? He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Time to keep silent. That's what that is. A time to sow. Have you sown the gospel of peace? A time to speak. It's interesting how when you're a kid, the thing that comes to mind is you speak when you're spoken to. You heard that? I think there's some truth to that. But at the same time, sure is nice when kids just let her all out. We know where they're at. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Christ is teaching us how to love through his actions, through what he is doing. Matthew 22 says that. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Time to hate. Do you hate your sin? Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me. That which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Sin becomes exceedingly sinful because of who we sin against. We sin against our God and our Lord and the Spirit that dwells. The Spirit that lives in the heart. Spirit that guides and directs. The temple is important. Do we hate our sin? Time of war and a time of peace. Wherefore, this is Ephesians, everybody knows this, 6:13 to 16. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Why do we have this? God is giving that to us so we are ready for war. We war not against principalities and powers, but we war not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have to have the warfare. We have to have the armor of God on. There's a time of war. And a time of peace. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts, your individual hearts, and your individual minds to the end through Christ Jesus. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? How are we laboring? How is God using and forming the clay vessel? James, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men. Who are the sons of men? The Christians. To be exercised therein, or in it. Romans 5, 3 to 5. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. But when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The trials of life produce good fruit. Tribulations we should be glorying in. Sometimes we cause our own trials. But God will allow that to work out for good. Because he has us in the palm of his hand. Has Thessalonians 1:5 occurred to you in your life? Has this happened? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The gospel is not just word only, but also it's powerful. You have the Holy Ghost. You have assurance. Because God is authoring it. So when we look at Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 11, if we look at it as what is God doing with the clay vessel, how is he setting us apart from the world, the flesh and the devil? How is he exercising his will in our life? What is he doing? What is his son doing? How is the Spirit guiding and directing? There are all these ways. Everything is in God's own time. What is the conclusion of the matter? What does Solomon say? Last chapter of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear this is the 13th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God. Reverence God. Uplift God. Glorify God. Honor God. Be persistent in prayer. Ask for things. Do what he says. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What happens right after we die? What's the first thing that we see? It's the judgment. With a holy kiss. And a greeting with a smile from Jesus saying, welcome. So when we look at Ecclesiastes, or when I look at Ecclesiastes, I look at it this way. What is God doing with me? How is he changing me from who I was to what I am today? And how will he change me from who I am today to who he wants me to be? And that is Christ, through that Holy Spirit that guides and directs. If we could only know how much Jesus loves us, get a little portion of how much he loves us, if we understood that, it would move mountains in us. It would take away strongholds. It would move all barriers. Because love is what constrains us to do things. I don't know about you, but the God that gave his son for me, there's no greater love. And love provides action. It produces fruit. It creates love within us to love others. It creates the ability to love our enemies, to pray for our enemies, to ask God to save them, because they're blind. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll continue with a song and then communion. So at the annual meeting, we had a, we're adding to communion today, so it's a little, it's going to be the same, but a little different, depending on how you partake of it. We used to have this communion rail, if many of you probably don't remember, if you haven't come to this church, people used to kneel in front of the rail and communion was presented, and we're going to try to do that to people that want to do that. People that just want to come up, and you have come up for communion, just grab your wafer and go back to your seat. People that want to be at the rail and receive communion that way, you will. The communion basically received a little differently than in the past. We used to put it in somebody's mouth and the wine and stuff. That's going to be different. I'll just be presenting the tray and you can grab the communion. That's how it's going to work. And the purpose behind it, from what the meeting says, was so that people could receive the blessing. And that is something that is the church has done for a long time, ever since its inception. So that's what we're gonna try to do and do it as best we can. And I was hoping Steve would be doing the first one, but it ends up being me. So we'll do it and we'll go from there. During communion, there will be a hymn that is played, and we'll start from there. We'll go from there. Thanks. We'll start with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, and everybody can join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Let us pray for them. Let's pray with and for them who now will partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that the Holy Communion may be a blessing to those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy body and blood, they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to the disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of their glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray as all our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take, eat. The body of Christ broken for you. And take, drink. The blood of Christ shed for you. Take the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and preserve their bodies and souls into eternal life. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to preserve their body, thy body and souls unto eternal life. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve their bodies and souls unto eternal life. Praise the Lord for his gracious gift which you have partaken, and proclaim his death until his coming again. Arise and depart in the name of the Lord. We thank you, O Lord, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that thou, of thy mercy, wouldst strengthen us through this communion in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Humble your hearts before God and receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Lord, lift, make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Shall we close with the final hymn and then the doxology?